Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Right, as all of us battle through our daily lives, and we try and get through our own existence. There are, of course, those in our community and in South Africa who are significantly more risk. We wanted to catch up, and we are going to catch up with the director at Impilo Child Protection and Adoption Services, Sue Krawitz. And the point is to hear how child welfare and adoption has been affected during the pandemic. Sue, a very good morning to you. Thanks for taking the time to speak to us. How are you?
No, I'm good, thank you. It's always a pleasure to speak to you guys.
So what is, how has it been? How have the last few months been? And what is happening at Impilo?
Okay, so since March last year, it has been an uphill battle for us. The first thing that happened is that we noticed a steep increase in the number of children who were coming into our organization. So that's either they were abandoned or they'd been left at hospitals, or we had parents coming in. So now the issue was that we were overwhelmed. We were now on lockdown. And we didn't really, we had to get ourselves organized really quickly. And in fact, in all my years, I've never seen such an influx of children, so many children being referred and so many people in desperate need.
Is that about the financial cost or burden of children? Is it about, helplessness or hopelessness? Is it about abuse? What was the underlying cause of most of this?
So all of those are contributing. Gender-based violence, of course, is probably one of the main factors, because it is our, you know, my personal view as well is that every child that's abandoned is a product of an abusive relationship. The mother's either been raped, or the man has abandoned her, or she's been treated, you know, physically or in other ways abused. And these poor women just simply do not know what to do. And our country doesn't offer a hell of a lot to them in terms of services. So there's a real desperation, you know, for a woman to go and leave her newborn baby on a rubbish dump or walk out of a hospital and never see the child. It's not an easy thing to do. We become very jaded and say, oh, they're terrible people. They're not. They're desperate women who simply do not know what to do. Or arrive at our office and say, just take this child. I can't look after it. I can't feed myself. I can't feed this child. So there was definitely an increase. And at the same time, everything shut down, and our government departments really did shut down, and it became very, very, very difficult to do anything, because all of these children have to be taken through a system. They have to be legally placed. They have to be, the parents have to be seen. We have to do birth certificates for them, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, so that at the end of that process, we can find them a suitable home. So it was quite phenomenal the extent to which government services came to a standstill. And in fact, they were sort of coming back up to steam towards the end of last year, and now we're back to square one again.
Yeah. So you're seeing a similar type of a pattern happening again.
We are, and we're worried because we don't know what to do with these children, because we have them ready for placement. So some of them go back to their families, and that's probably one of the easier ways and it is the best solution to getting a child out of the system. Perhaps the mother's circumstances have changed or her family have come on board. The second way is foster care with extended family, which has been quite difficult. because there's a document that you need regarding sexual offences. That department closed, literally closed for 7 to 8 months. Mm. And you cannot do anything without it. And then adoption. Now, adoption was a real nightmare because all of these processes we couldn't complete and we couldn't get documents for children or for adopters. And one of the things we do is inter-country adoptions for children who have some special issues or we can't find homes for, and the borders were closed. So if you can imagine that we had, say, 60 more children last year and maybe 15 left the system or 20. So if you can understand the bottleneck that's been caused by all of these delays, and government have promised to provide services, but you know, unfortunately it hasn't, as I said, it eased up a bit and now we're back. For instance, Home Affairs is closed. So now we can't apply for birth certificates for these children.
It's absolutely appalling. I'm just sitting and listening to this and thinking, you know, there's, we focus on one thing, we focus on another. But whilst all of this is, while we're focusing on all of this other stuff, there's this whole terrible situation that is evolving and developing and a crisis that's happening alongside of it. You know, some of us are completely unaware of it.
Absolutely. It's sort of this dark underbelly of our society. But, you know, it's never been easy, our work. It is never easy and it shouldn't be easy. It's difficult work and we have to pay attention very carefully to what we do. But, you know, what was so blatantly obvious was that the private NGOs, the non-governmental NGOs, organized themselves. I mean, I'm very proud to say that none of my staff missed work. We had one person who had COVID, and as for the rest, every single person has worked throughout. We equipped them all with their laptops and data, and, you know, we managed to supply them through some nice donations. And we have managed to work through it. Government departments, you know, it's level three again. So we can only go in one day a week. So I'm there one day and that's it. You're lucky to get me if you do. This is the kind of difficulties that we're dealing with.
How can listeners help? What is the help that you need?
So obviously we can't have volunteers assisting us because of COVID. So that program is unfortunately closed. But we still need to feed children. We need to, you know, have nappies and formula. We also need to have money to carry on because, we've still got to pay our salaries. And that's, people often forget about that the staff are the ones that keep this wheel turning. Every single staff member has to be paid. You know, electricity has to be paid, our bond, telephones, all the normal expenses that people don't really want to contribute to. We also have a lovely program that has been quite phenomenal last year, which we'll carry on, where we supply a startup bag for moms in hospitals. So they're not for our mothers who are giving up adoptions, for any mother in hospital who arrives with nothing. And it's a bag filled with some nappies and creams and blankets and, you know, basics for a baby. And the hospitals have been very grateful for us supplying these bags. Because, you know, they literally, these women walk in with the clothes on their back and they don't have anything for the children and for themselves even. So that's a project that people could get involved with. And then, yeah, you know, drop off a meal for our children. Sanitizer, masks, whatever you feel you can manage.
Absolutely right. How do they get hold of you?
Okay, so our website is impilo.org.za.
You didn't sound confident about that.
Yeah. It's just, no, it's
as you were saying it, you're thinking,
it's 100%.
Is that right? So
the website will tell you how you can donate. If you want to phone the office, Portia is at the reception. It's 011-640-1343.
Okay, brilliant.
And we're at 20 Lee Avenue in Glen Hazel.
And just drop something.
If somebody wants to drop off.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And just that website again is impilo.org.za. They 100%. Are doing God's work. Please help them if you possibly can. That's Sue Krawitz, the director at Impilo Child Protection and Adoption Services. Sue, we're going to check in with you just to hear how it is going.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.